Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Portland City Council. We're glad that you're here. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, 2010. It's 9:30 a.m., and the City Council will soon come to order. But we have a special announcement prior to gaveling ourselves in. I'm pleased to read the Honeybee Week Proclamation. Please come forward. Whereas the honeybee is responsible for over 40% of all the pollination of the food that we eat, and whereas the honey produced by honeybees is delicious, helpful, and therapeutic, and whereas the honeycomb wax created by honeybees is a miracle of engineering, and the light it creates is a comfort and joy to people, and whereas the honeybee's domestication thousands of years ago resulted in dependent upon human care, and whereas Portland is a leader among cities involved in sustaining sustainable farming and beekeeping practices that will be necessary to reverse colony collapse disorder, and whereas the new documentary, Queen of the Sun, What Are the Honeybees Telling Us, a project of the nonprofit Collective Eye, is created by Portland citizens and features our residents with other beekeepers, scientists, artists, and philosophers from around the world who are working to bring these problems to light. And whereas Queen of the Sun is partnering for its theatrical release in Portland with many diverse local organizations, including the Portland Farmers Market, EcoTrust, the Audubon Society, Oregon Tilt, the City of Portland's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Oregon Sustainable Agricultural Land Trust, the Oregon Wildlife Federation, Northwest Earth Institute, the Portland Waldorf School, Growing Gardens, Edible Portland, the Northwest Coalition for Alternatives to Pesticides, New Seasons Market, and others to promote environmentally sustainable and healthy community. And whereas every Portland resident can be part of supporting the health of the honeybee by avoiding the use of toxic pesticides on their lawns and gardens, by buying food from farmers who avoid toxic pesticides, by planting flowers for honeybee forage, by calling for a swarm rescue expert rather than an exterminator if a bee swarm arrives near their house, and by reducing the misplaced fear of honeybees with an understanding that honeybees are very rarely the source of most insects' stings. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, and a honeybee keeper myself, do hereby proclaim September 17th through September 23rd to be Honey Bee Week. Congratulations. Would you like to sit at our table and say a few words?
I'm Taggart Siegel, the director of Queen of the Sun, What Are the Bees Telling Us? And it's a great honor today to have Honey Bee Week signed as the proclamation of helping save honeybees. And I deeply appreciate it. It gives me great hope that cities throughout the country might be able to follow suit, and that Portland is a leader in this area. And there are beautiful backyard beekeepers all over Portland, and I really feel that it's going to be a growing thing, and you'll probably see more and more fruit and flowers in your city, in our city. So thank you very much, Mayor Sam Adams.
Well, I can attest to that. This is the first year I've had honeybees, and my garden has done much better this year than in previous years, even without adequate sunshine this summer.
Right.
So, thank you. And the showing of this, the local premiere, is where and when?
At the Hollywood Theater on Friday at 7:30. So
I will see you there and encourage Portlanders to attend. Thank
Great.
You very much.
Yes, thank you.
Let me give you this proclamation. Congratulations. Thank you very much. All right, Sue, we will now come to order. Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman, Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. We will proceed, beginning with communications. Can you read the title to item number 1243?
Request of Angela Moose to address council regarding recent polling of Kent and neighbors. on Portland International Raceway.
Angela?
Here I am.
Ah, Madam President, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Welcome.
May I ask Mayor Adams that we have Ryan Patel and Christopher Little join me? Chris is doing a substitution for Jared, who has had a death in his family this week.
Okay. Normally, we don't allow substitutions, but a death in the family, unless there's objection from counsel, will allow it. So come on up. Welcome. And you'll just need to say your name, who you're representing, and then that clock in front of you will count down from three. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Council. I'm Angela Moose. I live at 3417 North Russet Street, and I serve as the chair of the Canton Neighborhood Association. I want to thank you for the opportunity this morning to provide a background on our recent PIR survey done by the Canton Neighborhood Association PIR Workshop Group. We release of this documentation today, I think, nicely complements the new city public involvement principles. The Canton Neighborhood values our partnership with City Council, and our presence here today will give you a better understanding of our community and its concerns. We are trying to engage in early involvement as we share and identify a growing potential problem area, and we come to continue building a collaborative working relationship as we address our community concerns, which touch many of the city bureaus. Because the city has specific authority over the PIR as part of Portland Parks and Recreation, we are sharing these results with you. Livability is a key concern for the Canton Neighborhood Association and our Canton neighbors. Noise is our most outstanding livability issue. The Portland International Raceway is the key source of noise in our neighborhood. The last 5 to 6 years have seen a transformation in Canton with a major shift in demographics towards a much more civic-minded and aware neighborhood, which is totally reflected currently in the composition of our Canton Neighborhood Association board. Out of our 18-member board, over 70% of the members have lived in the neighborhood less than 6 years. They are part of a new demographic revitalization. They're bright, outgoing, talented, and look at living in Canton as an investment in their future. They are leading the way for a wholesome and healthy neighborhood without noise pollution. Last winter, the KNA opened a dialogue with PIR about how to coexist in our North Portland neighborhood. The Canton Neighborhood Board was directly contacted by Friends of PIR to discuss their goals to assume management of the PIR. The PIR workshop was created from the Canton Livability Noise Subcommittee to develop a neighborhood voice in response to the request from Friends of PIR. The PIR survey was the next logical step to quantify the consensus of the Canton neighborhood on PIR-related issues and usage. The Canton Neighborhood Board approved the survey as long as it was completely non-biased and agreed to pay the expenses of printing the survey to accompany the spring 2010 Canton Connect newsletter edition, which was delivered to our Canton neighbors of each of our 3,000-plus Canton households in early May. The survey was truly a grassroots effort as it was drafted, reviewed, and proofed to make a deadline of less than a week. We did this completely without outside support, created a 6-week window for survey responses, and made sure that our results were within the Canton neighborhood boundaries. Volunteer time is a rare and gifted commodity, and it has taken us as volunteers several months now to digest what we collected, but we're proud to deliver the survey to you this morning. The PIR workshop was created to develop the neighborhood voice in response to the request from Friends of PIR. We are now ready to pursue dialogue with them, but our main message going forward to all is that Canton will be vigorously voicing concerns for noise resolution and mitigation, and we thank you for providing this forum for us to give our voice to these results as we utilize them to go forward. Now I'd like to have Ryan go ahead.
Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Ryan Patel. I am currently on the board of the Canton Neighborhood Association and serve as the Noise Subcommittee Chair. Mr. Mayor and City Commissioners, my purpose today is to not only present you with the results from our spring PIR survey, but also to bring to your attention the seriousness of the results and the impact PIR has on our daily livability. I'm certain you've all had the experience of being in Canton neighborhood from early spring to late fall during PIR's daily races. If so, then you know how polluted the air is with noise from the track and how threatened our livability is. As a Kenton resident, I am affected daily by the noise pollution created by PIR and am constantly denied the enjoyment of outdoor and indoor spaces, be it public or private. Besides the all-day noise pollution, 7 days a week, the late-night drags go until 10 p.m. every Wednesday and until 11 p.m. every Friday and Saturday night, with ear-shattering noise keeping me and my fellow neighbors from enjoying the wonderful summer evenings during the small window of warm weather we have in the Northwest. On a beautiful Portland summer evening, those of us in North Portland do not have the luxury of an open window to carry in the cool breeze. An open window carries instead the disturbing sounds of drag races. What about the effects on children that go to bed well before the drags have commenced? Should a city park be the culprit for our lack of outdoor livability, enjoyment of our property, and our health and welfare? It is my understanding that Title 18 is in place to protect the well-being and livability of Portland citizens, not those who subject its citizens to excessive noise pollution. I am puzzled by how often Title 18 is neglected in context to PIR. I'm sure you have read this title in the past. However, I will restate the spirit of this law by reading the Title 18 policy statement. It is the intent of the City Council to minimize the exposure of citizens to the potential negative physiological and psychological effects of excessive noise and protect, promote, and preserve the public health, safety, and welfare. It is the intent of the City Council to control the level of noise in a manner that promotes use, value, and enjoyment of property, conduct of business, sleep and repose, and reduces unnecessary and excessive sound in the environment. The city has fallen short of accomplishing any of the aforementioned intent, and by neglect has actually succeeded at doing the complete opposite. It was not our choice to put a raceway in such proximity to homes of Portland citizens. That responsibility lies with the city. Since PIR's inception in 1961, long after Kenton was an established neighborhood, there has been noise polluting North Portland neighborhoods most of the year from PIR. As you can see from the survey results, noise from PIR continues to be the top livability issue in Kenton. The track has taken away the standard enjoyment of personal property, businesses, and the use of outdoor space for almost 50 years now. It's time the substandard livability experienced in Kenton and surrounding neighborhoods be addressed by council so that your intentions to minimize the negative effects of noise and promote the use, value, and property enjoyment of citizens can be realized. As a start, I request that the city cease to ignore the laws in place and begin enforcing Title 18. I would also love the opportunity to sit down with each of you to discuss what progress and solutions could be made on the future livability of North Portland. Please help us in finding a solution that will reduce unnecessary and excessive sound from the environment and by finally giving us back our neighborhood.
Where do you live? Which cross street?
Delaware and Schofield.
Thanks for your testimony.
Yep.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Christopher Little. I'm on the board of the Kenton Neighborhood Association. I live at 8034 North Brandon in Kenton as of last year. My partner and I moved to Portland 2 years ago. Part of what brought us here was the reputation of its environmental proactiveness, that it's green friendly, that it's earth conscious. Last year, we invested in a house in Kenton. We liked the neighborhood. It had the MAX station close by. Public transportation is something. I'm from California. We don't get a lot of use out of public transportation there. Love it here. The Denver Avenue redevelopment, the eco-friendly storm drains that were put in there, great addition to the neighborhood. The historic Kenton Firehouse is right across the street. It was retrofitted with solar panels and other new, more modern, eco-friendly additions. The new library that is on Denver utilizes LEED design, PIR. We have a problem here. I accept that Title 18 creates special rules for PIR, but still they exceed the sound volume rules that are set forth in PIR. They exceed the time limit and restrictions that PIR is to operate under. They create smell, smoke, and pollutants. And then finally, any call to enforce these rules seems to go unheard. No one is able to take action that creates some sort of penalty for PIR to create correction or change in that issue. What I'd like to see is enforcement and consequences of the existing laws. I'd like to see enforcement of sound measurements that match the EPA standards used on airports, including PDX and other race venues and any other noise facilities. There's standards out there, and PIR apparently doesn't have to follow those. I'd like to see PIR reflect Portland values, pioneer new green tech racing, put the Portland into PIR. I'd like to require for quiet, new tech, alternative racing events to match the four exemptions that the PIR already seeks every year. That's the information I'd like to leave with you, and I hope you would take the time to review the information that we've gathered in the survey, and hopefully you can understand our dissatisfaction. So thank you very much.
You bet. So disclaimer, I live in Kenton. I live in one of the streets closest to PIR, and as your president will tell you, so that's a disclaimer, this is an issue that the city has worked on over the years. We've got a lot of new people in Kenton with new expectations, and so it'll be useful to go back through the efforts to date. We did a scientific survey, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, and we'll dig that up and make that available to you. It was of the entire peninsula, including Kenton, because we wanted to know what the noise issues were. We have airport, freeways, railroads, but for those listening in. PIR is an effort to continuously improve on the operations of PIR is something that we're committed to. Encourage you to work. We've got a great, relatively new parks commissioner that is in charge of overseeing the Friends of PIR and that contract that operates sort of semi-autonomously, but I know he's committed to working with you on this issue and just continuously make efforts to reduce the impacts on the neighborhood and boost as many of the benefits, if any, as we possibly can. So I really appreciate your advocacy and we'll definitely partner with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can you please, that was items 1243, 1244, and 1245 for the record. Can you please read the title for 1246?
Request of Arthur Llewellyn to address council regarding artist renderings of CRC Project Concept Number 1 and Hayden Island Roadway Proposals.
No, did I? He is committed. Mr. Llewellyn, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm waiting for this handouts to be distributed to the city.
Go ahead and have a seat. She'll get you, I promise. She's very good at this.
Two sheets.
She'll make sure we get two sheets.
I'm sorry, I'm short.
That's okay. Commissioner Fritz and I will share.
Okay, well. Hey, the clock is running. Oh, it's been reset. My name is Art Llewellyn. I'm here this morning as a follow-up to the last time I came about this subject 3 weeks ago with earlier with drawings. I like the ones you have today, but these are more refined. There's two papers. The written one has an email reply from the Columbia River Crossing Public Outreach member who responded to my email, and I was very appreciative of his reply. And on the other side is my response back to him. And while I appreciate his reply, it didn't convince me that the advocacy that I'm taking on that I shouldn't continue with it, and so I kept up with new drawings. So if you look at the drawings that are in this form here, I've not only refined them and made them more detailed, but I've added a Hayden Island Road proposal that was published in the Oregonian a few years ago, put them all together, the two to me seem like it is a way that should have been considered as a part of the process. Last night I was here at City Hall and was a little bit mortified that my proposal didn't make it into the 14 that were discussed at the meeting here last night. But I know how things go. I know how public process doesn't always work out the way you expect. So I want you to consider the new drawings, and and I want them to go into the public record. And I'd like to have some kind of response from you. And maybe you'll be able to convince me that I haven't got anything, haven't got an idea that's worth further consideration. But it's the committee's work, the planning, WSDOT's and ODOT and the city and all the planners are putting the work together. And I, in my last remaining seconds, I want to say I'm at the meeting last night. I saw all these other proposals the public came up with, and I really do kind of side with replacing the I-5 bridges. And I really like the North Portland interchange design, the way that. But I just felt that we definitely have to cut down on the size of the project. That the state of Washington, my time's running out, has two other mega highway projects that they have to be spending money on, and I think this one should take second before those for the state of Washington. So,
thank you. This is a big project with, as you know, lots of parts, and what helps make sure that our thinking is as best as it possibly can be as engaged citizens. So I want to thank you for your engagement, and I will read it, and we'll keep working to do the best we can. Thank you, sir.
I know you will.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Can you please read the title for item number 1247?
Request of Kurt Albright to address council regarding problems apartment owners have incurred from the meth issue. He called and he cannot make it.
Okay. We will not hear 1247. Are there any items? Looking at the consent agenda, 1252 is pulled, as is 1262. Are there any other items on the consent agenda that anyone wishes to pull? All right. Sue, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have a special 9:30 time certain. Sue, can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 1248?
1248. Accept donation of the sign commonly known as the Made in Oregon sign from Daryl Paulson and execute an intergovernmental agreement between the city and PDC. Authorize the director of the Bureau of Internal Business Services to execute maintenance agreement, retail parking lot commercial lease, rooftop commercial lease, and rooftop easement in support of the sign and donation.
Well, I am pleased, along with Commissioner Leonard, to bring forth for council consideration item number 1248 regarding the historic sign, Made in Oregon sign in Old Town. It has a long Portland history. Many Portlanders know of this history, but to quickly summarize, in 1940, Ramsey Signs built the illuminated sign for the White Satin Sugar Company, which rented the space on the White Stag Company roof. The sign was altered in 1950 to include animation. In 1959, the sign was converted to its existing form for the White Stag Company, then the sponsor of the sign's operations and maintenance. In 1997, the lettering was again changed from White Stag Sportswear to Made in Oregon Old Town to reflect a new sponsor. While the sign has changed many times to reflect the current sponsor's brand, and under these terms would change, under the terms we propose, would change to prominently reflect Portland's identity. It has always been an iconic piece of our city's skyline. This deal will permanently protect the sign and place it under public stewardship. This deal ensures that the sign always has a City of Portland-oriented message, not a commercial advertisement. Oregon's free speech laws mean it could say virtually anything as long as it's in the right font, and the city, without ownership, would not be able to control it. This deal means that every time this sign appears in national magazines or is broadcast during the opening credits of the Blazer games, it's the City of Portland, Oregon, and not a company that gets the exposure and the recognition. This is a priceless, iconic sign, and one that will come into the city's ownership under very favorable terms. And I want to underscore our master negotiator on the city council, Commissioner Randy Leonard, along with our private, you're going to hear from our wonderful, wonderful private partners in this effort. And you'll see in these times of very, very tough city budgets how entrepreneurial this is and how it is being done without impacting funding of any other area of the city. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Commissioner Randy Leonard for further comment and introducing our special guest.
And thank you, Mayor Adams. I think you've covered all of the elements that need to be covered. At this point, I think it would be appropriate to bring up the people that really did the work from the city side and have them explain the elements of the deal, and then we will then have Art DeMero, Daryl Paulson, and whoever else they want to come forward and explain from their perspective why they've done this very generous act on behalf of Portlanders. So if we could have Ty Kovach, Mark Mullane, and Amy Reyes come forward. And anybody else you think you might need. These three, Mayor Adams, as you know, but for the rest of the council and the public, were intimately involved in the day-to-day discussions led by Mark Mullane from the city attorney's office, who did an outstanding job. And the devil is truly in the details in these agreements. And Mark was very careful to make sure that the agreement reflected what all the parties wanted in the end. And he got there for us. So without further ado, I will turn it over to whoever wants to lead off.
Well, I'm going to lead off by, if we could get up on the board, I'm just initially showing you the Landmarks Commission approved font for the Portland, Oregon signature that will be on the sign, and then I'm going to put a image that doesn't yet reflect this exact font. There's a swoosh in the P, and the letters are chamfered instead of rounded.
You might want to explain for people that are listening the importance of the details you're describing, because I'm not sure people observing understand the nuanced precision by which we have to have lettering approved, and particularly on this sign.
So as a general matter, government can't regulate what the message says. So the words themselves, as Mayor Adams referenced earlier, one of the values of bringing it into public ownership is we can now control the words. Another element is, because this is a historic feature of the city's skyline, if not one of the most readily identifiable features, it has been sanctioned as such to require that any words that go on it follow a prescriptive font that has undergone a lot of scrutiny, most recently through the Landmarks Commission. And I think to the untrained eye, people might not notice the difference between what I'm showing you now and what I'll show you when we have the video of what it'll look like when it's illuminated. But just for the purposes of what you're looking at right now, you'll note that the P has a swoosh in the very top of it, and the T and the A and the D all have what are known as chamfered ends, which are basically beveled instead of rounded. And these are things that I myself have learned along this process. So while I'm speaking to the broader deal points, I'm going to play an image that shows what the sign will look like when it's operational. So we're going to put it on a repeat so you can watch it perpetually. So there you have it. Sort of the broader background for why we got here, I think, has been well explained by the mayor and Commissioner Leonard. The how is what I'm going to give a general overview of. This donation agreement and the various elements that help us achieve this deal contain many components, so I'm going to do my best to just briefly go through the general pieces. One of the big pieces is a piece of right-of-way that the city owns that is underneath and adjacent to the Burnside Bridge between First and NATO. We've owned it for any number of years, and over a number of years in our efforts to improve the Old Town area, it has been noted as a big challenge because it has drawn illicit activity and accumulation of garbage and camping and a variety of issues that over the years the police have had to deal with, social services agencies have had to deal with, the neighborhood itself have had to deal with, and as we've seen kind of a renewal of the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood, partially anchored by the addition of the University of Oregon down there, it's become sort of a remaining element that the city is looking forward to having helped resolve by this deal, because what will happen is that space will become a parking area that will serve the new businesses that are in the surrounding region there, and it will be operated by White Stag Block Master Subtenant LLC, which is operated by Art DeMuro, who you will hear from later. And what that will do is generally it will activate the space. They'll provide cleaning, they'll provide security, and you'll have people parking there 24 hours a day, and activity is a wonderful and renowned deterrent for illicit activity and things that might otherwise go on. So that's one piece of it. Another piece is a retail space that exists underneath the Burnside Bridge that PDC had developed some time ago and has had challenges identifying a tenant to activate it, which is another element of activating that area that the city has pursued. As part of this deal, Art DeMuro's firm will accept the parking lot and the retail space and activate all of them, which is generally a really good thing for both the neighborhood and the city generally. In return, they will pay us for the first 10 years $34,150 per year for that. And for that amount that they pay us, we will also, in addition to these benefits I've articulated up to now, be getting a free rooftop lease for the sign to sit on top of actually $1 per year. I apologize, for the first 7 years, and then an easement that goes on perpetually. So we get that. We will get the sign donated by Ramsey Signs and Daryl Paulson, which will reflect the new message of Portland, Oregon that you see right here, including the sign change. And with the proceeds that we receive from the lease payments on the lot, we will cover the maintenance costs of the sign, we will cover the electricity costs of the sign, and we will begin building a maintenance reserve for the sign should any major changes need to be made over the course of its life. And one of the things that we felt was quite important was to have that reserve in place because, you know, when we're all not here and an eventual challenge with the sign, we want to make sure that it is allowed to continue in perpetuity. So there's a lot of details within the giant stack of papers that makes up this agreement, but that's sort of a broad overview, and the three of us are here to accept any questions you might have.
A question on that last point, yet the building the reserve. There's actually more money, a fair amount of additional revenue eventually that's going to be generated, and I'm assuming it's going to the Bureau of Transportation. How much is going to the reserve and how much will be available for general transportation uses?
The piece you're talking about would begin in year 11, and right. I would assume that a future council would decide the exact distribution of those resources, because there will be extra resources, at least in theory at that time. We can't.
I think there's still a little bit of extra resources in the first 7 years, mm-hmm. So I'm wondering how much of that goes to the reserve.
In the first 10 years, the extra resources goes to the maintenance reserve.
And then after that?
And then after that, the maintenance agreement that we currently have only lasts the first 10 years, so that's one variable that we can't predict at this point. But any balance above the 1% that is reserved for the maintenance reserve, which is $5,350 a year, minus the electrical costs and minus the maintenance costs, will go to PBOT.
Thank you.
Change the name.
Other discussion from council? Other discussion from council? All right.
Great. Now we have our...
Thank you all. Thanks for your work. The complexity of this simple transaction has been, profound.
It broke our photocopier when we tried to make copies of all of the agreements attended with it.
And if I've had a number of people say, how can it take so long to have somebody give you something? And when one understands that, for instance, Daryl had a strong interest that I shared and that you share, Mayor Adams, and I presume the council shares, that, for an example, would not want future councils to sell the naming rights on the sign, as we did at Civic Stadium. Those are the kinds of details that exemplify the complexity of the agreement. And then Art DeMero, of course, from his perspective, has similar issues that needed to be addressed, and just it's a very complicated process, but nonetheless one we got through because of our outstanding partners. So if you guys want to come forward now. And thank you, Art and Daryl, both for coming today. I should point out that while Art is within walking distance, I happen to know that Daryl is now residing in Anacortes, Washington, because a couple of weeks ago I drove up there to meet with him to finalize some outstanding details, and I got a chance to see up close why you moved up there. What a great place to live. Daryl has retired from Ramsey Signs and is enjoying the kind of retirement life I think many of us aspire to, and that you took the time to drive here today to be with us to talk about this is greatly appreciated by me. Daryl has not just proposed donating this sign to us. If you recall, he also, out of the blue, after seeing the proposal for the old McCall's restaurant on the waterfront, and the idea of having a rose on top of it, called, I had never met Daryl before, and said he and his company would like to donate that to the city. So though you're not physically living here, I think you're an outstanding member of our community, and I greatly appreciate your generosity with all Portlanders, as I do with Art. Art, it can't be overstated that there would be nowhere for the sign to be if it weren't for Art. The sign sits on his building, and part of this process has been Art's agreement to allow the sign to stay and to provide an easement to the city. And so, welcome both of you. My deep thanks to both of you, and lead off as you choose.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that it has been a profound project to get this to the point that it is today, and it was about a year and a half ago, I think, that Art called me. I was on the East Coast of the United States, and he threw out this idea that we should donate the sign rather than sell it or find an advertiser for it. And after a couple of weeks of thinking about it, and the legacy that we would have here in Portland, Ramsey Signs has been a part of the Portland skyline since 1911, I think it is, and it's a tremendous legacy for our company. And over the years, I think the key to our success in the community is that we've always been a part of it, and we've always gave something back, and this will continue that legacy. So we're proud to be able to do it, and Art was the real instigator in creating the idea, and it took me a while to come around, but it made sense once we thought about it, and I think it's the right thing to do. So we're ready, and with the council's blessing, we'll move forward with it. So
thank you, Daryl. Thanks for coming down today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Art?
Well, all I'd like to say is that if council approves this, no one will do a more vigorous jig than me, because I have been, ever since we purchased and redeveloped the White Stag block, the sign was just a small amenity related to that deal, and it ended up becoming the elephant in the room. I could not speak at different events without people. I could be speaking about the weirdest thing, and at the end people would always ask, so what about the sign? I've even had my children at school it's become known that I'm involved with the sign, and my children have gotten badgered with, what's your dad going to do about the sign? So we'll all breathe a sigh of relief to have a nice resolution, and I want to compliment everyone involved, because it really, this had the potential to be maybe confrontational or not, or conflictive, and it really was not at all. It had a lot of disparate interests that all came together in a very cooperative and also patient fashion. I know Daryl and I mean, we first started talking about the sign.
It's been over 2 years ago, I think, at this point.
I think your memory's failing, because I think it's longer than that. I think it's three or four years ago. So anyway, this works out, I think, well for all parties, and so we're very pleased.
Again, thank both of you.
Thank Council. You.
Well, I want to underscore my thanks for helping us acquire the sign in a manner that will make sure that it's maintained in perpetuity, that it can stay in the location that it is, and that it reflects the city and helps to tout the city in which it is located. And to do it right, as Commissioner Leonard mentioned, required us to do it in a great amount of detail with a great amount of research, in addition to the, in part because of the historic nature of it. And I just want you to know how grateful I am. Symbols are important to a city, and how grateful I am, and I know others are, to both of you. Thank you. It couldn't have happened. And Commissioner Leonard and I, in terms of what the sign says, Commissioner Leonard and I stumbled upon years ago a T-shirt maker that was making that outline of the state of Oregon with the internal saying Portland, Oregon. So in many ways, the grassroots sort of led the effort. Portlanders led the effort in telling us what would be the most appropriate message for this wonderful symbol, and thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on this matter? All right. Is there any additional comments council wants to make? All right. This moves to a vote next week.
Next week.
When?
2 weeks.
Can we make comments then?
Well, that's why I asked if you had comments. It's a non-emergency, right?
Right.
So it moves. When does it move to a vote?
We don't have council next week. So
we have non-emergency ordinances and the regular agenda next week.
So move that we kick this over 2 weeks. Yep. So we can have a...
Yeah, I thought that we did. I thought the message I got...
My
yeah.
mistake. We will, before I will ungavel and allow for comments to be made, and unless there are objections, we will move this for council vote in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. And I did want to make some comments while Mr. Ramsey and Mr. DeMauro are here, because I assume you probably not, even though I'd like to see the jig, and you may not come back for the actual vote. I was not expecting to be able to support this this ordinance. I have stated concerns about the use of the revenue in such tough times when we know we have so much, many other urgent transportation and safety needs. I'm going to be able to support it because I think you've done a splendid job of protecting the taxpayers, crafting a set of ordinances or set of contracts which I think are very fair to everybody. And that the one of the most significant things to me is the copywriting of the sign as a logo for the city of Portland, which I believe was Mr. DeMuro's suggestion. We don't know the expected revenue for that, but it could be extremely significant. And I think that that is a sweetener that is going to go on and on and on. It does prevent others from utilizing the sign in ways which could detract from the city. And several of the details were compelling to me. The there was previously an offer to buy this sign for over $500,000. And so that's clearly indication that others would be very pleased to have this most significant element of our skyline to do other advertising. So it's fitting that it advertises the city of Portland, Oregon. And one of the most compelling reasons that I'm supporting it is that Art DeMuro is going to be the principal steward of the sign and has been one of the key factors in revitalizing the area. The White Stag Building is beautiful, and it greatly enhances. Your work in Old Town is outstanding, and thank you very much for that. So I'll be supporting it in part because the value for tourism, for historic preservation, and for civic pride is incalculable. I'd like to add a rider that it means that we never move I-5 on the east side because I think that the people driving through, you know, when you're driving a long distance, it's you're often not quite sure which town you're going through, and that beautiful vista of our downtown skyline is going to be forever enhanced. So thank you, Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams, for your work on this.
I appreciate your comments, Commissioner Fritz. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. That's great. All right. We will now move on. Thank you. You're welcome to stay, but we will not find it rude if you want to move on to other aspects of your life. Thank you again very much. That gets us to the items pulled. Can you please read the title for 12? I'm sorry. They're both going back to my office, our respective offices. Takes a whole village some mornings. All right. Can you please read the title for 12, Emergency Ordinance 1265?
Authorize a grant agreement with Clean Energy Works Oregon, Inc. to deliver high-quality job creation, energy savings, and carbon reductions through the expansion of Clean Energy Works Portland to jurisdictions around Oregon.
In June, the City Council authorized the establishment of Clean Energy Works Oregon, Incorporated, to build on our local pilot, Clean Energy Works Portland, and expand energy efficiency retrofits in Portland and across the state of Oregon. This ordinance would provide the remaining funds to Clean Energy Works Oregon, $17,807,000, to meet the objectives of the EECGB grant agreement between the City of Portland and the U.S. Department of Energy. The total amount granted to Clean Energy Works Oregon is $18 million. With these funds, the initial agreement, I should mention, was approved on June 30th for $193,000. The organization will receive the remainder with this action. With these funds, Clean Energy Works Oregon will build on the initial pilot, develop consumer demands for retrofits across the state, build capacity among contractors for the work. And I'm pleased to report that at the beginning of the pilot, Clean Energy Works Portland, we had zero minority contractors certified to do this work. And at our meeting last week, we had a report that we now have 13. Quality control, integrate work standards and community benefits, and then work for secondary market buyers as well. Our goal is to deliver in the three-year grant period 1,300 jobs, 6,000 home energy retrofits, 3.5 million square feet of commercial building retrofits, energy savings of more than 300,000 million BTUs, and measure life carbon dioxide reductions of 300 metric tons. Who's speaking on this? You are? Oh,
you are.
Are there any questions or comments regarding the council action before us? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Sue, would you please? We'll wait until someone comes back. We'll put this on hold. Can you please read the title for LID District Hearing Ordinance 1266?
Create a local improvement district to construct sidewalk and stormwater improvements in the Southeast Water Ave and Yamhill Street Local Improvement District.
Andrew, welcome back.
Morning. Good morning, Mayor Adams. Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. We receive no remonstrance against the LID formation.
Any questions from the City Council? This moves to, it's a non-emergency ordinance and moves to next week's calendar. Can you please read the title for I believe, an ordinance item number, emergency ordinance item number 1267.
Authorized contract with Alta Planning Plus Design to provide project development services for street design projects to implement the Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030.
All right. Raj, is Rob Birchfield here? Who's here to discuss this matter? Katja? So we're running a little ahead of schedule. We'll move on. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 1268?
Authorize City Fleet to purchase replacement police patrol vehicles at $1,144,000.
Can you also read item number 1269? John, please come forward, or whoever's going to speak to it.
And 1269, authorize City Fleet to purchase replacement dump trucks at $1,190,000.
Hi, good morning, Mayor and Council. The items before you today are to move forward to buy replacement vehicles that are well beyond their economic life cycle. In the case of the police patrol sedans, we've already deferred to save as much money as we believe we can, but yet we need to buy them now because Ford will no longer manufacture these specific cars after March of next year. So in the interest of taking parts and moving them from a similar car over to the new car and also saving us a considerable amount of money, we want to continue on with our replacement cycle.
What are police agencies across the nation going to do when these cars are discontinued? They've been the stalwart car for police agencies everywhere.
They have been. They're very sound. Their rear-wheel drive police departments really rely upon them. There are three different options that will be available. One will be a new redesigned Ford Pursuit vehicle that'll be either front-wheel drive or all-wheel drive, but time will tell about how that works within the city of Portland. Also, there's a Dodge Charger out there. We have found that it costs a bit more to upfit those vehicles, though, so we've chose to go back to the Ford. Chevrolet. The Caprice will be coming out as well, but it'll be built in Australia as a Holden car.
Thanks. Any discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on either item number 1268 or 1269? All right. Then we have we can't take a vote yet.
We can do 1269. Where does that go to a second?
So, unless there's objections, 1269. Does anyone wish to testify on 1269? Oh, good. It moves to second reading next week. Let's go back up to the top. Can you please call the vote on emergency ordinance item number 1265?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
That's a really good statistic, Mayor, to know that we now have 13 certified minority businesses for this work. Good job. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
I get an opportunity to thank publicly Lisa Libby, who's the Director of Planning and Sustainability in the Mayor's Office, who's led a team to deliver a national model of best practice. So thank you, Lisa. Aye. Can you please call the vote on item number 1267? Oh, here we are. Rob Birchfield, can you please come up and speak to item number 1267?
Mayor Adams, members of council, I'm Rob Birchfield, city traffic engineer for the Portland Office of Transportation. You'll apologize, I'm catching my breath. I sprinted from City Hall. Sprinted to City Hall. And sorry, I was a little late.
If you rode your bike to work every morning, you'd be in better shape.
I did ride my bike to work this morning. Thank you.
You're very generous, Rob.
What I'd like to talk to you today about is a contract for bikeway project development work that we're anxious to move forward with. I'll give you a little background on this contract, tell you a little bit about the projects that are included in it, the contract that we would like to award, and some specific comments on the public involvement process, and then ask for your questions and hopefully your approval of this project. The bicycle plan for 2030 sets a new direction for bikeway design and network completion. The bicycle plan places an emphasis on creating conditions to make bicycling more attractive than driving for short trips in our city, and completing a bikeway network that will be attractive for a broad spectrum of users. The plan envisions a new generation of bikeway designs to make cyclists feel safer and more comfortable. The projects that we have identified for implementation or project development with this contract are segments of the bikeway network that have high levels of cyclist use and today have some barriers or capacity limitations. The contract includes project development for 5 specific segments, all of which will include public involvement. These potential projects are North Williams Bikeway Improvements, 3 Lloyd District Area projects that will be developed together. They include a short segment of North Vancouver bicycle accessing, allowing bicycle access to the Rose Quarter, and Northeast Holiday Street Bikeway Improvements to allow two-way bike use on Northeast Holiday Street. And finally, 12th Avenue Banfield Overcrossing Improvements to allow easier access for cyclists to cross that barrier, which is the Banfield Freeway, I-84. The final project are improvements for the bikeway along North Willamette Boulevard. The contract also includes what we refer to as technical feasibility analysis for 3 project locations. These are segments that we want to study in advance of doing public involvement to ensure that they're really technically feasible. So before we engage the public in a process, we'll find out from a technical perspective and traffic engineering perspective if they're really possible. Those 3 projects are an urban corridor of up to 20 blocks long to be determined in the central city, probably one of our one-way streets through the CBD. Northeast Gleason Street between 22nd and 28th Avenue, and access to and from our downtown across I-405 to the south. These projects are all included in PBOT's CIP for the current year and have future funding identified as well as a need. And finally, it is our intent and practice to meet the needs of all street users when we consider these types of projects and are developing. So it's not just cyclist needs that are considered when we're undertaking the project development, but the needs of pedestrian, transit users, motorists, local businesses, and residents are all considered carefully in the process. So while we've identified these projects as being, and the locations as being ones that have deficiencies that need to be addressed in order to make them work better for cyclists, the process includes the needs of all users. The contract itself is intended to supplement city staff efforts. This is still a city-run and city-owned sort of process. The city staff will be the face of the project and all the public outreach and involvement. The selection of this team was based on a competitive request for proposals, and the contract is consistent with the city's goals for ESB participation. So finally, some comments on public involvement. We'll be respectful of the needs of the constraints of the neighborhood associations that we'll be working with and their volunteers that we rely on for public input in this process. And we'll attempt to coordinate with other ongoing planning processes that are going on in these neighborhoods, make sure that we don't double up, have meetings where folks basically are overwhelmed by too much going on. We'll try to make sure that we plan this so that we can have effective public input from our local stakeholders. We're sensitive to the history and the context of the affected corridors. Some of these locations have a long history that we need to be sensitive to and make sure that the outcomes recognize that. As I said previously, PBOT staff will lead the public involvement process and be the face of the project. and PBOT's public information officer will coordinate all of our media relations related to these projects. So I'm happy to answer any questions that the council may have and ask you for your support in approving this contract. Thank you.
Discussion from council?
Thank you.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?